Grace, mercy, peace be to each of you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So I'm a little old school today because we forgot the high-tech device. Huh? Okay. When I say we, I'm referring to the royal we. By the way, as you were hearing that, and hopefully singing some of that hymn, who was the person singing it or speaking it? Whose voice was it? From whose perspective? Anybody figure that out? Joseph of Arimathea, right? Mind the tomb wherein he lay. Whose tomb did Jesus buried in? Joseph of Arimathea. So this could be called Joseph's song, but the other, a different Joseph. All right. So over the last couple of months and weeks, we've been talking about joining Jesus on his mission that he's doing in the world today, that we're following him, or we're kind of getting ready to follow him into our neighborhood where he is working. Our neighbors are the people that we have regular access to, and he's already there ahead of us doing the heavy lifting that only God can do. We're following behind, doing the simple stuff that a child can do, like loving our neighbor, making time for them, taking time to listen to them. We are enjoying our neighbors, hanging out, interacting with them redemptively, not just simply superficially. And we are therefore seeking what God is up to, trying to recognize his activity that's going on in the lives of our neighbors, and then responding to the opportunity that he presents to us to take part in his work. So when we are interacting with our neighbors in a redemptive way, then we are able to have our eyes and our ears open to what God's kingdom is doing and how it is working and where it may happen to be. So we talked a little bit about that last week, and then I sort of said this week we talk more about how to recognize God's kingdom. How do we do it? How do we recognize where God's kingdom is, what it is doing, what does it look like? What might be some of the signs of its existence? And maybe the first thing we ought to ask before we even ask that question is, what is God's kingdom? What's the definition of what it is we're looking for? It's kind of helpful to know what it is before we can know how to find it, right? So for our working definition of the kingdom of God, without getting fancy schmancy, God's kingdom is very basically and simply the redemptive presence of God and activity in human lives. Okay? We don't have to get all spiritual about it. It's just very simply, and it's always been this way, the kingdom of God is the redemptive presence and activity of God in human lives through Jesus Christ, of course. So in other words, wherever God is present, he is redeeming. He is restoring to himself, to others, through Christ. There's God's kingdom. Wherever that's going on, that's where God's kingdom is. That's where God himself is. You could even equate the two, that where God is present, the kingdom is present. Where the kingdom is present, that God is present. And now we have a little bit of a problem. Because God's invisible. You know, God's kingdom is invisible. His presence is invisible. His activity is usually invisible. So how do we see it now? How do we recognize it? And this is where a little bit of training comes in, a little bit of eye-opening, a little bit of experience comes in, which we'll talk about this morning. God's kingdom and God's presence and God's redemptive activity can be seen and recognized in at least three ways. And some of them you already know, I believe. I think you do. First of all is, of course, in a church service. When and where God's word is offered, when and where God's sacraments are offered, God is present. God is active. God is redeeming and restoring. I don't know what you see when you come here on Sunday mornings, or what other people see. But what we need to see is the kingdom of God at work among us and in us. This is where we interact. This is where we intersect with the presence and activity of God every Sunday morning. You know, we're not here to do some sort of obligation. We're not here to do some sort of religious duty. We are not here to get our sort of kind of spiritual vaccine where we are now immune from the problems of the world for the next week. We are here to participate in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is here at work. God is here at work. So first, we recognize the kingdom of God on earth in a church service, wherever the word of God are and sacraments are. Secondly, we recognize the kingdom of God in a Christian's life. Because if a person, especially a person of faith, a Christian person, is living a life of, to use the Bible words, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control, then they are in the kingdom of God, because these are the manifestations of the kingdom of God. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is. When a person actually has the Holy Spirit in them, this is what the Holy Spirit is producing in them. This is what their life is demonstrating and showing. When we see that in a person's life, we know that God's kingdom is there. We know that God's kingdom is operating in that person and that they are in the kingdom of God. If we just simply see the followers of Jesus loving other people, we are seeing and recognizing the kingdom of God at work. Right? Number three might be the new one. This is the one that I didn't sort of kind of figure out, or I didn't really learn. I should say not. I didn't figure it out. I didn't really think of this. I didn't really learn this only until recently. Number three, we recognize the kingdom of God, and we see the kingdom of God in human need. God's kingdom is present. God is present and active redemptively in human need. This is probably the last place. This is probably the least recognized place, maybe, where Christians would see the kingdom of God. But it's there. See, there's a whole bunch of people that we know that don't go to church. They don't interact with the kingdom of God, right? There's a whole lot of people we know that don't believe in Jesus, do not have the Holy Spirit, are not living lives of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So is the kingdom of God not near them? Are they really, truly that far away and that outside the kingdom? And some folks would say yes. Many folks in the past have said yes. They are outside the kingdom. They need to be evangelized. They need to be brought into the church so that they can be brought into the kingdom. I'd like to say something different from what I've learned recently. I'd like to say this, that where hope or where love or redemption are needed, God's kingdom is near. Where love, hope, or redemption are needed, God's kingdom is near. All right? For those who are living within the kingdom, those with the Spirit, love is the evidence of God's kingdom being in them and them being in the kingdom. Okay? But for those who are living outside the kingdom, those who are living in this world without the Spirit, need is the evidence that God's kingdom is near, trying to bring redemption, trying to bring restoration, trying to bring healing, trying to bring peace, trying to bring hope. Why would I say something like that? Because that's where our dear Lord Jesus would be. That's what he would be up to, wouldn't he? Wouldn't he be there when someone is in need of those kinds of things? Wouldn't he be there bringing love to a situation, bringing hope to a situation, bringing peace to a situation, bringing redemption? We've been saying that Jesus is on a mission in the world today. Well, what is that mission? The mission is to redeem and restore all things to the kingdom. And all things means people. It begins with people. It begins with relationship. He is redeeming, and his mission is to redeem and restore all things to God, to the kingdom. And people and relationships are the most important things that Jesus restores and that Jesus redeems. It's why he came. Do you remember? It's why he came. It's why tomorrow, and it's why next Sunday we're going to observe Palm Sunday. It's why he went into Jerusalem. It's why he went to the cross. It's why he suffered. It's why he was spit on. He tells the disciples everything almost to the detail what's going to happen to him on Thursday night into Friday morning. That's why he did it. To redeem and to restore all things to himself, beginning with people, beginning with relationships. That's why he came. That's why he's still here. That's why he's in our neighborhood. Yes, he redeems and he restores through the church services that are held, through his word, through his sacraments. And yes, people who have been redeemed and restored by him live a life of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. But broken people who are in need of all those things are being set up by Jesus in our neighborhoods so that they can receive those things in his kingdom. Okay? That's what all the broken people you know are experiencing, and why. So that he could come into their lives, bring them the kingdom, and that he could use us in the process. So what I'm asking today for homework is, can we learn to see and to recognize God's kingdom in these three ways? Not just the first two, which we're probably mostly familiar with, but in all three ways, can we see and recognize God's kingdom in our church service? It's more than a ritual and an obligation or an inoculation. It's the kingdom of God we're in the presence of. Can we see and recognize the kingdom of God in Christians, in each other, who are living lives of love and service and compassion and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control? These kinds of people, we're not envious of them. They're not better than us. They're just simply exhibiting what the Spirit's doing in them. And you know what, folks? The Spirit's doing the same thing in every single one of us. But can we also see and recognize the kingdom in the person who needs love and who needs peace and who needs joy and who needs patience and who needs compassion and who needs kindness and who needs faithfulness and who needs self-control, who needs redemption? Because Jesus is there, preparing them to receive it, and he is inviting us to join him and bring it, as the saying goes, right? Bring it. All right, that leads me to one final point, because some of you are thinking, Pastor, sometimes we can't see a person's need because they hide it. Yep. We do that very well, don't we? At the Jersey Shore, in our state, in our country, in the time in which we live, we're proud, we're self-reliant, we can take care of ourselves, We don't have hurts. We don't have hearts. We don't have needs. Not that I'm going to tell you about anyway. And it is. I totally understand that it's hard to see another person's pain and need that they're not sharing. But can I suggest a solution for that? That if we continue to hang out with people, and that gets back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, if we continue to enjoy people, if we continue to hang out with people, Jesus will show us what he's up to, and they will show us what they need. If we continue to be in relationship, in a meaningful, redemptive friendship with people, he will eventually show us what they need, and they will eventually, well, he will show us what he's up to, and they will show us what they need. And then we will see, and we will recognize, and we'll be able to respond as instruments and servants of God in that place. Because eventually we will see their heart. We will hear their hurt. And we will be able then to recognize how the kingdom is near to them. And eventually, we will be able to respond with the compassion of Christ so that they can live with hope and joy, like we say every week. And eventually, we will be able to follow in the footsteps of Jesus who came into this world. What did he say? Not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is his invitation to us to follow in his steps. And God, help us to see and to recognize and to respond as the opportunity presents itself for his sake and in his name. Amen. All right, let's continue our service as we listen to the next song, right?